I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
And welcome to this week's Squiggly Careers podcast. I am Helen. I am one of the hosts of the podcast, and I'm here with Sarah.
Hi, everybody. I'm back from holiday.
Sarah is refreshed from a lovely break with amazing weather.
I realised as I said that as well. It was like we probably didn't even say that I was going on holiday because we do a weekly holiday podcast that keeps going out even when we're on holiday. But I think I'm just so thrilled to have been on holiday and had a week of sunshine in Wales. Which, you know, that doesn't happen in March every year. And I got sunburnt. So I'm sitting here slightly lobster-like, actually with some quite noisy planes going overhead. So if you do hear some planes during the podcast, it's not because I'm still on holiday or at the airport. It's because I live on a flight path quite near Heathrow.
on the point of holidays, this is probably an admin thing that people on the podcast don't need to hear, but just heads up, I am going away for 2 whole weeks in May, Sarah, so we do need to get thinking about podcasts, just so you know.
Well, I'm less terrified about the podcast. We'll be able to sort that. I'm more terrified by the fact that for anyone who follows on Instagram, you'll know that Helen does a daily careers tip on Instagram stories, which has a really loyal following. Lots of people watch her every day. People love it. And for those 2 weeks, I will be deputising for her. And I like to say deputising because that sounds like I'm sort of learning. And it makes me anxious just thinking about it. So we should focus on the podcast. And at some point...
Yeah, we need some ideas. Instagram community what we should do for 2 weeks when I'm off. I was even thinking maybe we could ask for a volunteer to do like squiggly career tips for us. You know,
when you get a features
takeover.
Editor.
Yeah, like a squiggly careers takeover for 2 weeks. Maybe. I don't know.
That sounds really appealing to me because that means that I don't have to do it. But I feel like I should do some of them because, you know, it's not very growth mindset, is it, to go, I'm just not going to do it. Someone else can do it for me.
That is also true. But I was thinking maybe it's an opportunity
that's a good
for
idea.
Our community
maybe
to get involved.
Maybe we do a bit of both.
Yeah, do a bit better. Anyway, apart from planning for holidays, everybody, this week's podcast is all around inspiration at work, like where it comes from, what the science behind inspiration is, and what practical actions that we can all take to have a bit more inspiration in our work and kind of connect that to the work that we do. And I think in the context of squiggly careers, where we often can be working quite hard, quite long hours. We've got lots of information. I talk to so many people that just spend a lot of their time going from meeting to meeting, from email to email. Whilst work can be quite exciting, that can also be a bit monotonous. I think in the context of all of that busyness and the demands of our always on work, actually connecting to how to stay inspired at work, I think becomes really, really important in that kind of squiggly context.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting. I was starting to think about, so what does actually inspiration mean? Because it's one of those overused words that gets bandied around a lot. And actually, I look back at a book that I really like that's written by a guy called Andy Bird, which is called The Inspired Leader. And we'll include a link to that in our resources. And the way that he defines it, which I think is quite useful, is he talks about inspiration always takes place in a unique way for each of us. So we all have our own kind of individual take on inspiration, but it does tend to happen when 3 things come together. One, something's triggered from the external world, and that might be a situation, an event, people. So kind of something happens around us. So that's number one. 2, mindsets, so the mindset that we bring to those experiences and how we kind of relate to them ourselves. And 3, motivation, so what actually motivates us internally, so things like our values, the interests and talents that we've got the most passion for. So when these triggers and mindsets and motivations, when those 3 things simultaneously come together in a way that's kind of meaningful for us, in whatever that looks like for you, that's when you kind of feel the kind of magic alchemy of inspiration. And 2 people could be experiencing exactly the same thing, and 1 person could find it really inspirational. And for the other person, it might not kind of trigger those things because it does depend on your own kind of unique take. So though it's individual to all of us, I think it's important for everyone. But there are also some things that we can do to work out how do we kind of make this happen for ourselves.
And we'll talk a little bit about the ways in which we stay inspired before we kind of go into our practical tips to help you. But before we do that, I think it's useful just to think about why inspiration is good. I'm going to talk a little bit about in the context of squiggly careers, it's useful, but just to get into the detail of it a little bit more, there's a couple of useful articles from Harvard Business Review on inspiration that we'll put in the resources on the website. But a couple of things that I took away from those articles were three main benefits of being inspired and really focusing on it at work. The first is that it can help with goal achievement. So there is a lady that's done some research on this with some other colleagues, but her name is Marina Miliaskia.
I was really looking forward to you having to pronounce that.
Thanks for that.
I was just looking at that thinking, I cannot wait to hear her say this.
Well, we're just Marina M for now, and the full name will be on the blog post on the website. But she looked at people who were inspired set inspired goals and that they were more likely to achieve them. And then when they were more likely to achieve them, they were more likely to be inspired. And so there was almost this reciprocal relationship between being inspired and setting inspirational goals and then being more likely to achieve them, which then makes you more inspired. So I thought that was quite interesting that actually being inspired helps you to achieve your goals. The second thing was that actually people who are inspired in the research, they show evidence of having more purpose in their life and also higher levels of gratitude. And I think that is then linked to the third benefit of being inspired, which is that there is a link between inspiration and well-being. When I was thinking, okay, if people are, they've got more purpose and they're more they're demonstrating more gratitude, that probably links to the well-being piece. But there are significant benefits, you know, goal achievement and well-being, if you can actually connect to what helps you to be more inspired, so you're focusing on bringing that into your work. And also when I was digging around stuff, there seems to be two people who have done loads of research, like most of their careers research seems to be on inspiration, which is quite cool, called Todd Thrash and Andrew Elliott. Yeah, most of their career has been on inspiration and doing lots of research. And one of the things that I liked from their work was they talked about the personality traits that are required to remain inspired. And they did loads and loads of research on different personality traits and how they can link to inspiration. And they found that there are three main traits that make the biggest difference in being inspired and remaining inspired. And the first personality trait is being open to new experiences. The second personality trait is having high levels of self-esteem. And the third personality trait is having creative enjoyment. And there is something called like some inspiration scale that, again, we'll put the link to it. But you can kind of measure, answer a series of questions which are based on these kind of personality traits that help you to see how open to inspiration you are, for example, or how inspired you are right now. But even without doing that, I think it's an interesting thing to reflect on. To what extent are you open to new experiences? To what extent do you think you've got positive self-esteem? To what extent do you actually get enjoyment from creativity?
What's interesting about at least two out of those three is it probably takes you to be slightly out of your comfort zone. You know, is the assumption that I start to get to is just listening to you talk then. And as I was thinking through my examples, because those personality traits suggest the ability to kind of take yourself away from kind of the known and what you maybe normally do. So when it's open to experience, you assume it means like kind of new things, you know, to get creative enjoyment usually means kind of trying new stuff out, believing in yourself and believing maybe you can do more, going back to your point about goals. So there's probably also something about, we often talk about how much time you're spending in your comfort zone, your stretch zone and your scary zone. Maybe think about how much time you're spending in that stretch zone. I would assume, and it's a kind of presumption without the 20, 30 years of research, that actually the more time you spend in your stretch zone, probably the more open you are to inspiration, the more likely you are to find inspiration through your work. And actually, if you're at work in your scary zone, that's probably overwhelming and too intimidating if that's where you are all the time. Or if you're in your comfort zone, that probably just feels a bit too day-to-day and you're not getting those kind of sparks of inspiration that probably we would all want.
So where does your inspiration come from, Sarah?
I was thinking this. I think it's a mixture of what I'm spending my time doing and then some of the things kind of around me. So the first, in terms of what I'm spending my time doing, when I started to think about when have I felt most inspired at work, it's usually because I'm working on a project where I get to kind of use my strengths, live my values, all the things that we talk about being really important, particularly launching stuff, creating new ideas, building things from scratch. Those are when I'm kind of in flow. And we've talked before about this thing of being in flow. And that's often when you just got this kind of positive momentum and you're really just enjoying the work that you're doing and you're feeling kind of inspired to push yourself, to push other people around you, almost in the pursuit of something that you really believe in and that you're really passionate about. So that's kind of the work that I'm doing. And I think simultaneously, and I think they are slightly different things, I draw inspiration, certainly from people I've worked with and people I've worked for, from places that you spend your time. And I think sometimes just from doing different and kind of interesting things, but they feel quite different things to me. I almost feel like the first is when I'm feeling inspired kind of in my work, and the second feels to me almost like shots of inspiration. You know, like you spend time with a person.
How you fuel it.
Yeah, it's kind of these little mini kind of injections of inspiration that you get that often you've either facilitated actively, you know, you've decided to go and spend time in an interesting place or do something a bit different. And we'll talk about some of those things in our ideas about how to stay inspired. You're lucky enough to happen to work for or with some people who you know that every time you spend time with them, you come away feeling that little bit more inspired than you did before. So I sort of would divide them into the kind of inspiration from the day-to-day work and then those kind of little mini injections, I think.
So if I do the same, if I think about my inspiration from my day-to-day work, I was reflecting as well career-wise on when I feel most inspired. And I think for me, it's when I've got loads of freedom. So I've got the ability to shape and dream and determine the direction of something without kind of feeling constrained. When I believe in something, so if I'm like, oh, I believe Amazing If can achieve this, or I believe this new product can give this benefit to somebody. So I've got freedom and I've got belief. And then there's something for me about potential, so I can see opportunity. You know, if you give me loads of space, I've got something that I really believe in and I can see how it can grow. For me, they're like the ingredients of me to be like at my most inspired. You're going to get like full on Helen on something in that mode. And if I think about my inspiration shots, so that's like almost like the environmental factors that would make me feel inspired. And if I was then going to like more consciously feed that inspiration, this was actually interesting when I reflected on it. I think when I read or when I listen, so almost in like quiet time, so when I'm reading on my own or I'm like listening to podcasts when I'm driving, that is sometimes when I feel most inspired and I come up with ideas. And the reason I say it was interesting is because I'm an extrovert and they are actually quite solo activities. Mm-hmm. I don't get my inspiration that much through conversation with other people. Like, I love chatting to people and I find that energizing, but I don't, that's not where I get my inspiration from. My inspiration comes much more from listening and learning and reading and reflecting, and it's where I connect different concepts and come up with ideas. And it's that learning new stuff, I think, from solo reflection or engagement with something that really inspires me.
Yeah, and I think it is interesting to reflect on, is there an introvert extrovert kind of almost personality trait here? Because as an introvert, I would say I do get really inspired by spending time with people,
but isn't that interesting?
But it's pretty opposites. Yeah, it is opposite, but it's pretty much always one-to-one, I would say. So it's not kind of with big groups of people, but I definitely would say I feel at my most inspired, if I was thinking about for Amazing If, when I feel at most inspired, it's usually when I've shared something, an idea that maybe we've had together with somebody else and they've built on it or asked some really interesting questions, or it's helped me to see kind of our potential. And then I kind of go, oh, I feel really inspired by that. Or if we're chatting about something and I share a thought that I've got and then we chat about that together, I come away from that feeling really inspired. Whereas actually the reading, listening, more kind of reflecting things, I don't think I would use the word inspired. I think I'd be more in the kind of, it's making me thoughtful and considered in a kind of slower, I'd want to kind of mull things over. I think I associate kind of inspiration with just feeling like this kind of energy surge.
That's so funny, because I get the energy surge, but I get it from, because it's really annoying when I'm driving. I often listen to podcasts when I'm driving. So I was irritating messaging Sarah when she was on holiday last week, because I was listening
not
to this
much,
podcast.
Not much, though, not much. You think you went from my number one WhatsApper to like number eight? You know, when you see
good.
At the very top who's WhatsApping you, you're pretty much always number one, I have to say. This is including friends and family.
my idea on holiday. But yeah, I get really excited because I hear all these different concepts when I'm like listening to podcasts, and I come up with ideas and I feel really excited, but I'm driving and I can't do anything about it. So I end up having to like speak to Siri, and I'm like, Siri, can you save this idea? And then it ends up like, because the voice recognition is not particularly great in my car, there's like gobbledygook messages in my like iPhone notes about some inspiration idea I had when I was driving. So yeah, I think it's really interesting that yours is with people and you're an introvert and I'm an extrovert, and mine's more on my own when I'm connecting ideas and things.
Yeah. So I think just think about it for yourself. So if you're listening to us talking now, answer that question for yourself. Like, where do you get your inspiration from? Would you divide it in the same way that we've ended up naturally dividing, in terms of kind of the work that we do and the inspiration shots that we get from kind of external factors? Or do you see it differently? There's kind of no right answer here. Back to what Andy says around how you define inspiration, it has to be unique to you. It's whenever these kind of different elements are coming together and you can just sense what inspiration looks like. One of the really good exercises that Andy has in his book, in one of the early chapters, he actually encourages you to do an inspiration chart. And I think this would be a really good exercise for people to do. So whether you do it over the last year or the last month, actually just plot, almost like if you're on an even keel day to day, which moments do you have these kind of feelings of inspiration being really high? And when do you feel the least inspired? And then think about what's happening at those moments, what's happening at those points of inspiration. Because I think if you did that, and even if you think, oh, I'm not sure, I find it hard to think back, even if you did it from now until Easter, did it for 4, 5, 6 weeks, I bet quite quickly you'd start to spot some patterns of going, oh, okay, I am someone who gets inspiration from when I'm with other people, or actually it's about spending time by myself. Is it about the work that I'm doing? Which days do I end up feeling really inspired? What was I doing on that day? So that might be a practical thing to do if you're thinking, I'm not quite sure yet when I felt the most inspired. It sometimes doesn't always come top of mind. And obviously we think about these things a bit before we do the podcast. You know, if you want to reflect on it, that might be just a useful exercise to do.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So how can you find more inspiration at work? We've come up with 5 kind of ideas of things that we've done from the different resources that we've read, things that have been recommended that we think are really useful. There is, I would say, a lovely article that I found from Tiny Buddha, and she does this brilliant blog where she's put 50 ways to find inspiration, create, explore and expand your thinking. Nice. And it's just 50 really interesting different things to do, some of which we'll talk about and some which will be more relevant to you than others. But if you're thinking about very practical things you can do, what I really liked about that list was everything felt very like, okay, I could do that tomorrow or next week. So that is a particularly good one for this section. If you want kind of more than 5 ideas, if you want 50, you could commit to doing one a week for the next year. So number one in our ideas is to learn something new. I think if you're looking for inspiration, we've talked before about the brain and the neuroplasticity of our brain. So our brain's ability to expand and to kind of grow, and the fact that we all have that. But to do that, you've got to give it something to grow and kind of fuel from. So my example of this would be at the start of the year, I trained to be a mental health first aider. It's something I've mentioned previously on the podcast. And what's really interesting about that 2-day experience was there was part of that that was about learning the content of what it took to be a mental health first aider. But actually, I came away from those 2 days feeling incredibly inspired. I was inspired by the people I was spending time with, by the person who was facilitating the programme, by some of the stories that I heard during those 2 days. And actually, it's not necessarily something that I would have put together in terms of being a mental health first aider and feeling inspired, because, you know, they're tough topics and it's a tough subject. And you're talking about things where people are struggling and having really significant problems at times. But through that experience, I did come away feeling very inspired. It kind of gave me that real sense of energy and responsibility and almost like thirst to do even more. And I think that's probably one of the things is when you learn something new, it propels you further forward in terms of goals, or it gives you the confidence that perhaps you could do something that you couldn't do before, and then maybe you can go even further. And I think that's the thing, but there's an action that you've got to take there in terms of identifying something to learn and actually going away and kind of making that happen.
So number 2 in terms of the ideas that we've got is to spend time with someone else who's got a different perspective. And a really practical thing to do at work for this can often be to spend time with customers. So if you want to get more inspired about your work, it's very easy to get a bit internally focused often. I've seen this a lot in the organisations that I've been in. And actually any opportunity that I have had to spend time with customers, so sort of on the other side of the fence, has always given me inspiration about what we could do differently. And to give you some practical examples of this, and I guess because of my background, I've done a few different customer insight roles, it's potentially been a bit easier for me to do this, but I think we could all do it. But when I used to work for Capital One, I worked in an innovation team for a period of time. And we used to do these things called consumer safaris, where we would basically go shopping with our customers, because Capital One was a credit card company, still is a credit card company. And so going shopping enabled us to see how people use their credit card. And I remember I was in a cafe in Nottingham, and I sat down with a woman and we were going through her wallet and we were looking at what, you know, which card she'd got where. And because there was something about being, you know, top of wallet or front of wallet and where the different cards were. Anyway, her Capital One credit card was not in her wallet. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, because we're on a shopping trip and I'm from Capital One. And I was like, oh, where's your credit card? And she said, oh, it's in my freezer. And I was like, okay, this is very interesting. Why is your credit card in your freezer? And she said, because I sometimes get a bit scared about my spending. So I used to put my credit card in water and put it in my freezer. And then it would take like 24 hours to defrost before I could use it. And I was like, okay. Which then I was like, okay. And I said, oh, so you said you used to do that. She's like, yeah. I realized that I could see through the ice and I could see the number, so I could still shop online. So she says, so now I freeze it in orange juice. And I thought, you know, like, it was really, really extreme. But basically that led on to a whole load of inspiration for ideas for credit cards you could freeze. And I don't mean literally, I mean a bit more conceptually. So like, for example, a credit card product that you could take out that might allow you to freeze your debt for 2 months, for example, so that you wouldn't get charges in that period.
Yeah, take control of your spending, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. And I had a similar example when I was at Eon. Again, I was working in an innovation team and we were looking at solar panels on roofs and how we made solar panels a bit more mass market, because a lot of the people that have been getting them were like these very super green people, basically, or other people were having them because it would save them money, and so it was a very financially driven decision. And I was talking to this woman and I said, you know, why do you like solar panels? And I was in her house and she said, I remember the statement, she's like, oh, because it's like bathing in sunlight, because the solar panels heated her water for her bath. And she was like, whenever I have a bath, it feels like I'm bathing in sunlight. And you get into this whole
description.
I know. And whilst we didn't use that in the marketing, it opened our eyes up to a whole load of more emotional language that we could use to appeal to different customer segments. And it's just, you know, I've got multiple stories like that where when you look at something from a particular customer's perspective in a work environment, it just fuels a whole load of different ideas, because you're just in a completely different perspective of how you're thinking about things.
Yeah, I think I've had something similar when I worked at Sainsbury's, spending time with other colleagues. So lots of the time at things like Easter or Christmas, you go and spend time working in store, like you're doing lots of retailers. We both did it when we were at Boots. Yeah. And again, you realise just the different perspectives of people all working in the same company as you. And, you know, you're often sitting there, in both of our cases, thinking about the marketing. And that's the bit that you really care about at that time. But sometimes it's so good to then go and see the reality of that marketing when, you know, if you're in store and they've got a massive long list of stuff they've got to deal with, and one of those things is putting up your marketing in store,
yeah,
and they've got 20 minutes to do it, just bearing that in mind when you're creating something so that it's as easy as possible and the instructions are clear. You know, the things that would be so easy to overlook, I think, because you've not been in their shoes. And we talked about empathy the other week, and I think this is a perfect example of where it'll build your empathy, but I think it will also build your inspiration.
Yeah, I was just thinking actually when you were talking then about my little girl had this dress on today that I swear had not been designed by somebody who spent any time with mothers. Like, it had like 12 buttons down the back, and she was like writhing around. I was like, whoever designed this dress needed to have spent some time with like a parent trying to put a dress on a child, because it was that would have been a really good example.
It's a bit like dungarees. My little boy Max has got some beautiful dungarees, but I quite enjoy sometimes, this is quite mean, putting them on when he goes to nursery, because I think, oh, he looks really cute, but then I don't have to deal with consequences.
It's so bad. I hope they don't listen.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Number three is to find inspiration by doing something that you haven't done before. And this is, I guess, linked to the first two ideas, but really taking yourself out of your work industry, your work environment, spending time with people you don't work with, to just do something that perhaps you just would never typically do. And my example of this recently was a friend invited me to an event called Letters That Changed the World. And the event was in like a massive auditorium. It was absolutely packed, like hundreds and hundreds of people there. And they'd invited actors to come and read these letters as if they were the people who'd written them. And the author, a guy called, I'm going to try and pronounce his name, Simon Sebag Montefiore, I think, probably said with a slightly different accent to that, I think. And he was there and he was talking about the book that he'd written. And then the actors got up and actually read these letters out loud. And it was so inspiring. You were learning something completely new, back to kind of the first idea, but also just to spend time in a completely different environment. It's not something that I would have discovered myself. My friend probably is more culturally curious than I am. And it would also have been really easy to say no to. You know, those things where you just think, oh, they're kind of nice to do, but you're busy and you want to try and do some exercise and you want to see your family and all the things you're trying to fit in. It's so easy to not do these things.
Mm.
But every time I do, I always come away just, you know, when you come away like really buzzing.
Yeah.
And I think these are, for me, definitely the inspiration shots. And sometimes they're better than others and you never quite know. But it's almost like this thing of saying yes. I know you often, we're encouraging people to be very thoughtful about their time. It's okay to say no. But sometimes I think you also have got to go, I am actually going to do that. It might be a little bit inconvenient, or it might not be usually how I'd spend my evening, or I'm going to have to change my plans around to kind of make it happen. But I certainly know that I've never regretted it. And I've usually taken some inspiration from those things where I've just done something that I wouldn't normally do. And I think to find those things, often it's about finding somebody who's naturally very curious, always doing interesting stuff. They always seem to be like ahead of the game, following all the latest trends. They know what's going on, like, and get them to invite you to things. Because often once they invite you to one thing, that same friend has invited me to something else that also sounds really interesting. So, you know, she's just got her kind of finger on the pulse of stuff that I just wouldn't naturally come across during the kind of course of my day to day. And again, I'm going to say yes again, because I just thought, well, you know what, her curation so far has been very good, so I'm going to go with it.
Well, that, I think that's saying yes, you know, earlier when I was talking about those three personality traits, and that first one being openness to experience. Oh, that is the saying yes thing, isn't it? So I think you are a case in point of that personality
living
trait.
Living the dream.
Number four then is about the kind of idea for you, and to cultivate your inspiration is about spending time in inspiring surroundings. And I think this again goes back to the point that Sarah made from Andy Bird's book about that is going to look very different for different people. So for some people, an inspiring surrounding is going to be being in the outdoors. I remember coaching somebody for an organisation a couple of months ago, and they talked about they were from New Zealand and they were now in this office environment, which they hated. And they said they'd used to be a personal trainer and being outdoors was so important to them. And that they, for them, it was about the way that they got inspired by was just like spending time outdoors in any kind of weather. That is not necessarily me. For other people, it might be spending time in maybe more of like a cultural, in inverted commas, but like galleries or arts kind of spaces. And it's not necessarily going to events there. It might just be like working. Maybe there's a coffee shop or something in that area. And just that being in that kind of vibe inspires you. For me, the light's quite important to me. Like I get, for me to be inspired, I've got to be in like an area where there's lots of light. I quite like there to be some kind of buzz. I don't have to be talking to other people, but there's something for me about like a light area. It's very specific, isn't it? Lots of light, a bit of buzz, and then just like time on my own. You know what I talked about earlier? I think how I get inspired is by learning and connecting and coming up with ideas. And so if I'm in a really nice light space where there's a bit of buzz and energy, but no one's actually talking to me, that's kind of like my environment for inspiration. What's yours?
I was just thinking, actually, I actually, for somebody who does really care about their environment where they work, I don't think I mind as much in terms of my inspiration at work, as long as I've got variety. So I just don't, I think I probably get inspiration from variety. I just don't like being in the same place for too long. So I don't like sitting at my desk for too long, or being in a meeting for too long, or in, I like moving, as in I like movement. Okay. And I actually like walking within my day. If I can ever, ever choose to get from one meeting to another or one place to another by walking, I always will. And if that, as long as that walk is probably under a mile and a half, I will avoid, I know I work in central London, I will avoid the tube, just because I find that that kind of act of moving and going and seeing different spaces and the kind of transient nature of that, again, helps to kind of free up my thinking for where I get to.
Yeah.
And I do think, probably slightly separately, I do get some kind of inspiration shots from the kind of nature thing. Like I really enjoy walking generally, being outside, spending time by the sea, you know, the kind of real classic, yeah, like staring at the sea.
I find that relaxing, just not inspiring. I love to do it. I went for a lovely little family walk today, but it's just not like an inspiration space for me. It's just a relaxation space.
Yeah.
It's interesting. But that's the thing, isn't it? It's just very personal. So I think the action for people listening is to just reflect on what are those environments in which you feel most inspired and how much time are you actually spending in them? Because if you think you've lost some of that ability to spend time in those, you might want to think about how you can fit it into your agenda a bit more on a weekly basis or monthly if that's not possible.
I think the other action from that, and just thinking about it as we're going through it, is to be really specific about, is it inspiration? Because I think your comment there about, oh, you know, it's not that I don't like being in those spaces, I find it relaxing rather than inspiring, is actually a really important distinction. So just make sure you're being really clear for yourself. You might enjoy something, but enjoying something is not the same as it being inspiring, or it might be relaxing, but again, that's different to inspiring. So again, noticing when you feel specifically inspired in the kind of whatever the unique way that looks like for you, and then thinking about everything that's happening, the work that you're doing, the environment that you're in, and being really clear that it is inspiration and not something else that can also be a good thing, just is really important. And so our last idea then, which brings everything together, is about taking action. I don't think inspiration is one of those like bolts of lightning that you wait for it to strike. I think that can happen sometimes. You happen to just meet someone and you're like, wow, I felt really inspired by that, and perhaps you weren't expecting it. But if you look at things like CBT, so cognitive behavioural therapy, what that shows is that our behaviour has a massive impact on how we then think and feel. And going back to the definitions, we talked about the mindset that you take to anything, the values that you have, how open you are to different things, to allow as much inspiration to kind of seep in kind of the right way for you. And you can let that happen spontaneously, but I almost feel like that would only get you so far, and that to really kind of optimize your inspiration, you need to kind of take conscious action. So whether it is finding that curious friend to go and do something you've not done before, whether it's thinking about what's the new thing that you're going to learn this year, you know, dedicating the time to spending time with your customers or your people you work with who work in a different area. All those things require you to kind of take a step out of the day-to-day and do something different. And that's actually really hard when we've all got, I think Helen said at the start of the podcast, you know, we've all got full inboxes, lots of meetings to go to proactively get to take the accountability to go.
It feels like a luxury, doesn't
it?
Like, oh, I'm going to take some time out to be inspired. But if you go back to the benefits of it, actually it's better for your well-being and it helps you to achieve your goals. It makes sense. It's just hard to rationalise maybe in the moment.
And yeah, actually, this what occurs to me as we're talking about this is it's often why we encourage the people who we do workshops with or development days with to do those outside of the office environment. And you can see sometimes people really struggle with that because from an efficiency perspective, cost perspective, there are lots of reasons why, you know, if you've got a room you could use, why wouldn't you use that? I completely understand the logic of that. But I do see time and time again that when you're just spending your time in a different space, you know, with maybe different people, it actually has, you can see that that has an impact.
Absolutely.
On how people approach the day, probably what they're prepared to think and share and how inspired people feel. I'd absolutely love to do some research into going,
yeah,
actually, if you were to do almost like a control group of doing the same day of a workshop in somebody's office, whatever their office environment was, whether it was the coolest office ever or a super bland office, and then if you just did it somewhere different, do people feel more inspired at the end of the day? I would, if I was doing a hypothesis going into that, it would be people would feel more inspired because of just being somewhere different in itself has a positive impact. Maybe one day we'll test that.
So I'll just summarise then the five different ideas to stay inspired that we've talked about. So the first one is to learn something new. The second idea is to get some different perspective. The third is to do something that you haven't done before. The fourth is to spend time in inspiring surroundings. And the fifth is just to act. Don't wait for inspiration to strike, just act, act now. So hopefully that has given you a few different insights, I guess, into how Sarah and I stay inspired and also some practical ideas for you to build your inspiration into your work. And also, as ever, we've got quite a lot of resources as we've gone through these. We've mentioned some of them about the research. We mentioned Andy Bird's book. One other one that I just want to give a brief shout out to is a really good video about like how to find your creative genius. It's by Elizabeth Gilbert, and it's just it's really compelling. She talks about kind of when inspiration comes, because it comes in unexpected ways and how you catch it. And or just, it's just a really, really good TED Talk. Highly recommend it. So we'll put the link on for that one as well. To find all of these resources, if you just head over to amazingif.com, and we have podcast posts for every podcast that we do. So you can find a little bit of a summary and also the all the resources that you can click onto. So that is it for this week. Thank you as ever for listening. Next week, we are going to talk about the benefits of slowing down. So I think with Sarah's holiday and a slightly quieter week for me, actually, while Sarah was away as well, we just thought about actually there's so many benefits of reflecting on the rhythms of your work and how you make time for inspiration, time to think. And we recognise that work operates at a fast pace. So we just want to talk about the benefits of slowing down and also how you can maybe proactively manage the rhythms of your work to create that space for you to think. So that's going to be next week's topic. And as ever, yeah, thank you very much for listening and thank you for all the lovely comments. I did a post, I don't know if you saw it, Sarah, while you were away last week. We've had so many new reviews on the podcast on iTunes and they are both super, super helpful for all the algorithm-y things that help us to be seen by more people that I don't really understand, but I know that your reviews help, so thank you. And they are also just genuinely lovely to read. Almost every review we have is like a paragraph long and it is so much more than nice podcast, thanks. They almost have these like lovely little messages in them to us and they're like just so lovely to read. And we just really recognise that it takes you time to work out how to do the review, let alone just write it. And they are so thoughtful and kind and they make a really big difference in us being able to reach more people. And they also make a really big positive difference to Sarah and I when sometimes we think, well, is it just us like talking to each other? Yeah. Is listening?
Anyone there other than us on listening? A Sunday night, me in my pyjamas? Is he in your pyjamas yet?
I'm actually going to go for a bath shortly, so I'll be in my dressing gown shortly. But so thank you. Anyway, we will leave you to your days wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and we will both be back with you next week. Take care, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Bye, everyone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.